pals of mine. I'm Julie Parker, and this is Conversation Accessories. A while back, someone asked me how I dealt with loss. What kind of loss, I asked. Any kind. How do you work your way through it? I had to think about that. Look back over the years. The deaths of people I loved. A divorce. Fired. Various items that held meaning for me. I realized that I have a tendency to withdraw. I don't want to talk with anyone because I know they can't help me. All they have is words. I have to work through it alone. That's why I love this book, Yoga for a Broken Heart, by certified yoga instructor Michelle Paisley. She knows firsthand the emotional challenges of loss and its accompanying grief. The thing about loss is counseling sometimes doesn't help. You can go years and years and it still doesn't. And those that are suffering the loss, whether it's breakup loss, death, or divorce, it's still a loss. And the pain is still real. The depths vary, of course. But most of us have known somebody who just can't let it go. They're stuck in the muck and mire of that pain. And I like this idea of yoga as a gentle, do-it-yourself way of releasing at your own time, your own pace, the way it works for you. And I like the fact that you don't have just illustrations, you actually have photographs of yourself to the point, this is what it looks like and this is what it does. And this has been translated in many languages?
Yes.
Do you know how many off the top of your head?
I think we're up to 7. It's pretty phenomenal.
Magic 7.
Yeah. People from all around the world just give me messages every day about this book still. It's just mind-blowing. Love it. Great journey.
What's some of the recent feedback that you've received?
I get a lot of people telling me just the thank you. You helped me through such a dark time. I didn't know how to make my way out of the cloud. And thank you for being real. Because when I first got this book, I originally intended to write other people's stories. I had owned a yoga studio, a very successful yoga studio in the Bay Area. And people would, after yoga practice, just start gushing about all their problems because you held the safe space for them. They've been breathing and meditating for the last 90 minutes and things would just come up. So I thought, what a wonderful way to use not just the physical postures, but these ancient principles from the Bhagavad Gita and the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. I was a big yoga geek, so I knew all these ancient stories. And then also I would incorporate, you know, books like The Power of Now, which I'm rereading again by Eckhart Tolle, and just really immerse people into being present with their feelings. And so originally I was going to share other people's story, and then the universe had different plans. As soon as I got the book deal with Findhorn Press, which is a huge synchronistic experience, how I got this book deal and this first book deal of mine, the universe had me go through a divorce. I had to walk my talk and lose my house. I lost my studio. So when I went on tour for this book, and they were so kind as to have me have a publicist from New York who was phenomenal, Sherry Rosin, and she set up all these talks for me, and I had to say how I really use these principles and this practice to get through my own heartaches and my own hardships. And I can tell you, fast forward a decade later, my life is flowing amazingly well because I used what I wrote this blueprint out in my book. So it's interesting being on the other side of it because now I get feedback from people, again, in different parts of the world and saying to me, you know, they were where I was 10 years ago and I'm on the other side and I can help and give back. And it's just an amazing place to be. I just so love this first book of mine. I sometimes reread it. And I go, wow, I was really insightful 10 years ago. And even the poses, even though they're not new postures, I wrote them in a way that when I'm feeling lethargic and depressed, I don't want to do this powerful yoga practice. I want to lay around and do nothing. So I have restorative postures. And then when I am feeling anxious, maybe, you know, this, I want to do something more energetic. So maybe I want to do a vinyasa flow practice. I think it depends on your mood. And when you're grieving, I just had this conversation with a good friend of mine who lost her father just a few weeks ago. When you're grieving, your emotions are all over the place. They do not go in a linear seven-step stage fashion. They just don't. And so yoga meets you where you're at. And if you feel like meditating, you can just sit there like a lump of coal and you can just breathe and be present and let things surface. And like Eckhart Tolle says, just take a look at it and be the witness. And, or other times you just want to do something to have a tool to get past all these emotions, because even well-meaning friends, they say the wrong things. They don't know what to say. They either avoid you because they don't know what to say to you when you're going through some kind of huge loss, or they say things like they're in a better place now. And even if that's true, I'm a medium now. I know they're in a better place. Does that make me feel good in the moment? Absolutely not. I think the best thing that you can say to someone is, yeah, that sucks. How are you doing today? Because it's a day-by-day, moment-by-moment process as to how you're feeling about your loss, especially death. When I wrote that book, again, I went through divorce, bankruptcy, everything. But I had lost my grandmother, who had raised me pretty much. And so it was a huge loss for me in my early 20s. But she was older, and I had never gone through the losses since then. And what I love about this book is that it still speaks to that. Even though at the time I hadn't faced death, and I since have had to, and I've had countless clients that I have helped through the process of grief. Whether you've lost a plant or a dog or your husband, life is full of losses. Your job, it's your sense of identity is shaken to the root, and it always comes back to the same thing. Who are you underneath these roles that you play? That's what the message of the book is that we are all one, that we are all spirit. Yoga is union. It's ancient Sanskrit for yug, which means to yoke, body, mind, spirit. So, the book, I tried to stay true to those principles. I just dove into it, and it helped me. And so I'm a living testament, and I think we can only live by example, by showing people. That's how all the great ascended masters have taught, from Jesus to Buddha to Krishna to Gandhi. You live it and you speak it. And so it's no greater compliment than people to come to me going, I'm just going through this and I'm reading your book and I'm just loving it. And God, thank you for telling your real story. Because it wasn't easy. I had some people pretty pissed off at me after I wrote that book. But what I always came back to, is it the truth? Is it true? Because, especially like the chapter I have on forgiveness, it was a powerful thing for me. I think we all struggle with that. But to me, the message was, I believe we pick our parents, we pick our lives, we pick our challenges for the lessons that they bring us. That's the whole point of life. And so if you get that everybody that's a challenge in your life is put there because of you, they're just playing a role in your script, then what is there to even forgive? It's all part of this divine plan. And so once I really got that, it just freed me up so much. And so, I did get some grief from people. And I had some interesting, very fascinating things from people saying that my loss wasn't as big as theirs. And I thought that was...
The one-upping.
Yes.
Yeah, you cannot... I'm embarrassed and ashamed to say that my grandmother did that. Both of their children, my mother included, died before they did. Mm. And somebody in the family had lost a spouse. And she said, well, that's nothing like losing a child. I was stunned.
Yeah.
Absolutely stunned. It's like, you did not just do that.
Loss is loss.
I'm so embarrassed that I'm related to you.
Everybody's on their own path.
I thought that moment, like, oh. Yeah. I told her later, I said, do you understand what you just did? When we had a private moment.
Yeah.
And she just, her eyes got really wide. She didn't. Because she still hasn't let go.
Well, and sometimes when people are mired in their own grief, grief can be selfish. Because you are just so focused on your own pain that you can't see, to speak in cliche, is the forest for the trees. You really can't. You're just mired in it. And people that are in that space often project a lot, and their loss is the hardest loss, and somehow they gain this great deal of ego power in that. But I say again, whether you have just lost your job and your job was everything, or you, it could be anything, and people react to things differently, and that's okay. In my years owning my yoga studio, it's interesting to watch how people react to change and to pain, because I met people that have gone through the most horrendous things, that went through tremendous obstacles, and yet have the biggest smiles on their face and the most gracious people. And I've known people that have had everything handed to them, and they get a hangnail and it's the end of the world. And so it really is all about how we react to these things in our lives. And yoga is just such a wonderful way to do that. It really is a tool, and from the poses to the philosophy.
Yoga is like middle C.
Yes, great analogy. I used to play piano, so I get it.
So did I, that's why I brought it up. Obviously, you can't put a time limit on it or say you should do this so many minutes a day or so many days a week, but I would guess that you probably have a good time frame to begin.
Yes. You know, I think it's, I give the same advice for when people want to write a book, because I led writing workshops for years too, and I've written 5 screenplays, I forgot to tell you about that too. I've always been a writer. I was a journalist for years, and so I have that habit. When you're a journalist, you don't get the excuse of, am I inspired today? You just do it, and some days it flows better than others. Yoga's the same way. Any exercise is the same way. You may get up and you don't feel like doing it, but as soon as you start doing it, it feels good. So my plan of action, what works for me, is I'm a night owl, but I'm freshest in the morning. And so I get up in the morning, I get my coffee. I don't know how yogic that is, but I love my coffee. I don't care. And I sit and I meditate first thing before I've really had a chance for my brain to get going and start chewing over things. And then I lay my mat out and I just do whatever I feel like. I'm at a stage in my life where I know every probably yoga pose there is and every modification, because it's really morphed over the years too. I do what feeds my body and soul in the moment. And sometimes it's 5 minutes. And sometimes it's 2 hours. And so I'm not one of those people that say, I must do an hour every day. I just don't. I know for me that when I tell myself 5 minutes, I will do whatever I can, depending on my schedule that day. But I do it first thing because I make it a priority. When I do, my life is so synchronistic and so amazing. And people say, how do you do that? It's because I've set aside time for me to connect with spirit, to clear away my thoughts and just be fully present just for a little while. So, you know, that's my deal. Some people need that time limit or they'll never do it. And that's okay too. You know, it's...
And 5 minutes, I think, is a doable starting point.
Right. You start, it's like any practice. It's like running. I used to try and run years ago. I don't run anymore. But you wouldn't run a marathon in a day. You would practice, you would walk a little bit, you'd run for 5 minutes, you'd let your muscles adjust. It's the same with yoga. So often, if I had a nickel for every time someone said, well, I'm just not flexible, I can't do that. I'm like, you get flexible. You start flexible as a child, we all do. In fact, we're more cartilage than bone when we're children, so we're naturally flexible. But then as we get older, what happens, I think what gets more inflexible is our thinking. We start thinking, I can't do that. I'm out of shape. I'm this. And we start comparing. Talk about comparisons. I can't tell you how many people in a yoga class will look to the side and see where they're at. If they're better than someone or if they're worse than someone, it doesn't matter. Guess what? No one cares.
It starts as a child, though. Kids picking on us because you have glasses or braces.
Right.
Or it all starts there. And it's difficult to let that go.
Right.
It really is.
Well, and in my studio, how I learned traditionally is there's no mirrors. There's no judgment. One of the main tenets. To me, it's not a yoga class unless you're teaching. There's no expectations and there's no judgment. That's the main pinnacles of yoga. Now, I've since taught in countless gyms and dance studios and they have mirrors. But what happens when you put a mirror is people start judging themselves and each other. And they start comparing and competing. And guess what? When you die, there's no judgment. When you die without a body, there's no expectations. There's only love and there's only light. And it sounds like a cliche, but it's true. I had a near-death experience I talk about in the book at length, where I experienced that. And the reason I came to yoga was because when I started doing yoga and learning these principles, it was the closest to that kind of bliss that I found in the afterlife, in my brief moments of a near-death experience. And so I was so longing to find that kind of happiness. And really the only way I found it was in yoga and meditation. So, and yogic meditation.
And I also want to point out that this is not a large, heavy coffee table book.
No, I made it light, short for a reason.
It's less than 100 pages.
Right? It's doable.
Which includes photographs.
Yes.
So we're talking from a quarter to half a page of text.
Yeah.
So you can open it up, crack that binding. It's okay. It's your book. So it lies flat.
Yes.
Hold up. It's easy to look at, refer to. If it's easier for you, photocopy a particular page that you really like of a pose that really resonates with you.
Absolutely.
And enlarge it.
Yeah.
Have it up on a little, your cookbook. If it's on a stand, just switch it out.
Exactly.
And put a yoga book on there.
Yeah.
So as you're lying there standing upside down, you can refer to the pages and the notes in here.
Absolutely.
Very flexible. The way you can use this as much as yoga brings you flexibility.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Did you have a favorite yoga teacher?
Ah, it's a tough one. After, who I certified with was Dr. Ann Ernish, who had a studio in Calistoga. It was It's Yoga Calistoga. They have a chain of It's Yogas. It was between San Francisco and Calistoga, and at the time I was living in Green Valley, Fairfield area by Napa. And I thought, I'd rather drive to Calistoga every day than San Francisco and deal with traffic. I just loved her. I loved her demeanor. She was just so graceful and beautiful and just a beautiful spirit inside and out. And she's a chiropractor. So she taught me Ashtanga Vinyasa Yoga, but which is very flowing. But she also, because she knows her anatomy, really taught me precision, which is usually like in an Iyengar class. But I had back issues over the years. Another reason I turned to yoga early in my life, I had gotten in a car accident and a ski accident. So my back was a disaster. And I was young, single mom in college, and I couldn't afford to go to chiropractor. And so I started doing yoga poses. And so now if you take an x-ray of my back, it's phenomenal. Chiropractors will say, how are you walking? You should be in a wheelchair. I'm like, we're more than just our bones. We're tissue and connective tissue. And it's from having a 30-year yoga practice. It's healed me physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. So anyway, she was really my first. She's who certified me, and really, I think I wanted to be her. I put her on a pedestal, which I shouldn't have done, because, you know, that's what happens. I had countless people do that for me, too, because you feel so darn good when you're doing this stuff that I thought it was her that was bringing it to me rather than the vehicle of yoga. So, at any rate, I have since studied with Patabi Joyce, who passed away several years ago. He was the godfather of yoga, Ashtanga yoga, who brought it here. I was blessed to be able to train with him, and he was hilarious. Indian people, there's just no BS. He didn't give all this touchy-feely yoga advice. He would just be like, he'd count it out. He'd say, one, you're in this really awkward, hard pose. Two, and then he'd say, two again, just to mess with you. But really straightforward. I just loved it. And just such a, when you are in the presence of a master, oh, they don't even need to say a word. You just feel their vibration and their energy, and it's just tremendous. So I was fortunate enough. I was a yoga geek. I trained with the best, with Sean Korn, with Baron Baptiste. I went to all the Yoga Journal conferences and trained with all the big ones and some little-known ones, too. I led lots of yoga retreats around the world in Costa Rica and Mexico. I just did one a couple years ago. And I just recently stopped. I stopped teaching in February, I believe. I had an emergency appendectomy. And
bummer.
So I could not do anything physical. And I think
yoga can't help that.
No. Well, you know, funny enough, I listened to
healing post-mortem.
Yes.
But,
lots of breathing. It really helped with the fear. right? Because, I mean, it actually, my appendix burst. I didn't
I was
going to
say, when it bursts, yoga's not going to help.
No, I did yoga. I was doing yoga that morning. That's the funny thing. The pain came really suddenly, and it really helped me be present, because it's pretty darn scary when a doctor comes to you and says, and it wasn't presenting correctly. I thought it was something else. I didn't want to go to the doctor. I thought I had the stomach flu. And he just said, no, this is life-threatening. We need to act right now. And when I came out, it had actually burst. But because of my healing, this is an awesome story. I had had a big workshop I was leading a week later. And I thought, oh, my first thought is I'm going to have to cancel it because I really wanted to do it. And I asked the doctor when I was done, I'm like, do you think I can do this? And he says, absolutely not. You just had emergency and a big cut across my abdomen. I asked the nurse and she said, you know what? I'm not going to say no. I've seen people, and all I needed was a little bit of window of possibility. So I went on YouTube and listened to countless guided meditations on healing, and I breathed, and I pictured myself healthy and whole, which is what I recommend in this book. And so even though I couldn't do the physical postures, I could do the breathing and the meditation. And a week later, not only, I thought I was going to have to sit the whole time. I was up talking to people, sold out workshop. It was phenomenal. So, you know, your mind is powerful. Your thoughts create your reality. That's a big tenet of my books and how I live my life. And I just believed that I was going to be healthy. And so, but when I was done, after I got the okay 3 months later to finally be able to teach again, I'm like, you know, I'm at a different stage in my life. I'm working on another book. I've got, you know, this TV show. I've got other things I'm doing. And so now I do yoga for me, and it's lovely.
And she lived happily ever after.
There you go. I'm living happily ever after.
As Michelle wrote in her book, yoga means union, and union is love. Union is spirit, and that spirit resides in you. Do something different. Get your car detailed to give you and your car a literal breath of fresh air.